from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at WVHTF.org.
At the legislature today, House Speaker Tim Armstead is the first Republican to lead his chamber since the current state capitol was constructed in 1932. He says since taking over the majority, his legislative priorities haven't changed, but they'll certainly get more attention. Senators finally put a bill to a vote that would repeal alternative and renewable energy use standards for West Virginia utilities. Those standards are scheduled to begin taking effect this year. And a House committee is updated on the state of our highway system and the future of its funding during a budget presentation by the Department of Transportation. A full report on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Although he's only held the position for a week now, House Speaker Tim Armstead is not new to the legislative process. He was appointed and then elected to the chamber in 1998 and served as the minority leader, for nearly a decade. In his acceptance speech last Wednesday, the speaker addressed the challenges West Virginia faces and said, quote, "We can do better." Here tonight to detail how he and his fellow delegates plan to do better for the state, House Speaker Tim Armstead. Mr. Speaker, thank you very much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Leading into this session, both you and the Senate President said you would present a uniform agenda. But he also said you'd hit the ground running and you'd get those pieces of legislation through quickly. We're a week or so in now. How are things going?
I think they're going very well. We have taken basically 15 bills that were our top priorities for the first round. We certainly have additional legislation we want to run, but those first 15 bills were introduced on day one. They were put into committees. The committees have already been meeting, and one bill has already passed out of the Senate. It will pass, we believe it will pass the energy portfolio repeal tomorrow in the House, and a number of other bills have already come out of committee. So we believe that things are really moving, and we're hitting the ground running like we intended to do.
Well, that leads perfectly into my first question. I wanted to ask you about that energy portfolio bill. What are your thoughts on it? How will things shake up in the House tomorrow? Will we hear a lot of debate?
We may hear some debate, but I will say that in the two committees it has come out of in the House, the Energy Committee and the Judiciary Committee, there was discussion, but it came out unanimously. So I don't anticipate a great deal of opposition to the bill. There has been discussion about it and what the bill originally that we're repealing meant and what the repeal of that will mean. And that's healthy discussion. I'm glad we're having that. But I think that we need to repeal this bill. It's very important that we do that, particularly this year, because if we don't, then portions of it will kick in. It will increase utility rates for our citizens, which they can't afford and we certainly don't want to do. And it will, the repeal of this bill, I truly believe, will help put miners, coal miners back to work. It's not the end-all and be-all, but it is a very important step that we can take on the state level.
Your minority leader requested a jobs impact study, and you denied that request. Senator Bill Cole, that was already also requested in the Senate, and he decided not to do that as well. Why did you all make that decision?
Sure. A very important reason. There is a tremendous amount of evidence already in place. The utilities who were subject to this bill had to file reports with the Public Service Commission outlining the costs that they would incur as a result of implementing this legislation. So there was already a tremendous amount of information, very specific information relating to the cost of compliance of this bill. So we felt like that it was important for us to move forward to repeal this bill because of the portions of it that kick in this year. So I think that it was very clear what the economic impact would be of maintaining this bill in place, energy portfolio in place, and what the positive impact would be of repealing it.
This bill has bipartisan support, and I'm sure there are many others that'll come along that do. But there are some bills that might not have that support. I'm thinking specifically of the 20-week abortion ban bill that was introduced into the House, I believe, yesterday, and the Senate today. And it might not get that support from the executive, who vetoed it last year. Is the plan to push these controversial bills through early so you all can fight, you all can overturn a veto?
Well, first of all, let me say that when we talk about controversial bills, our goal and our first priority has been job creation. And so that's going to be our first emphasis. At the same time, we do recognize there are some bills that will have the possibility that the governor will veto. That's one of them. There are others. We're not trying to pick a fight with the governor. We have had discussions with the governor about those types of bills. We want to work with the governor. We have had a discussion about the bill you just mentioned, the 20-week abortion ban for pain-capable abortion or pain-capable children. We look forward to the opportunity to work with the governor to the extent that we can do that. If we can't, we have both said we will move forward and act in what we think is in the best interest of the people of West Virginia. But there's no reason we shouldn't be able to sit down around the table and try to find consensus on issues like that. So we have already talked with him about that and some of the other issues that we think may be controversial, and we'll continue to have those discussions.
A public hearing was held in the House today on House Bill 2011. I want to make sure I get the number right. This is a bill that deals with awards from the Workers' Compensation Fund. Why do we need this legislation?
Well, that bill is part of a large group of bills that we think are important to really improve the legal climate in our state. We've said all along that job creation and economic growth is a factor of four different areas. One is our legal and regulatory climate. One is our education system. One is our tax structure. And the other is infrastructure. So we really need to try to make progress in each of those areas. But that was one step of many that we will try to take during this session to improve our legal climate. We have been looked at from various studies throughout our country that say that we just have a legal process that is not fair. It's not predictable. We want it to be fair to plaintiffs and defendants. We want it to be a system where if you're an injured party or you are a party that caused an injury, you can go into court and know you're going to have a fair trial, a fair process. So that's one of the components, the deliberate intent. That deals with issues where how we define when a company may act with, as the word says, deliberate intent, actually intending injury. And in those cases where they're a company intends injury or is just very reckless about injury, we think that is that they should be held accountable for that. And but we need to define how that is done, and that's what this bill does. But there is another bill that came out along the same lines in terms of legal justice reform that came out of committee in the House Judiciary Committee today that requires that parties just pay their fair share. If they're 10%, 20% responsible for causing injury, they should be held responsible for that 10 or 20%. If they're 100%, they should be held 100% responsible. But they shouldn't be held responsible for someone else's negligence or someone else's, the percentage of someone else's fault in a case. And so we think there are steps that we need to take to ensure that people pay what they're responsible for, but not pay more than what they're responsible for.
Well, we will be following those bills all throughout the session, and we look forward to speaking with you again about them.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Two bills were up for a vote by the full Senate this morning, Senate Bill 1 and Senate Bill 3. While one bill passed quietly in usual Senate fashion, the minority leader stood to amend Senate Bill 1. His amendment, however, failed without even the full support of his caucus. Senate Bill 3 contains provisions that are not new to West Virginia lawmakers. Senate Judiciary Chair Charles Trump explains the bill strengthens a homeowner, property owner, or renter's ability to protect him or herself from an intruder or trespasser by codifying common law.
For those not steeped in the law, by codify, I would say we put it in code. It is, let there be no mistake, the embodiment of what the current law of West Virginia is on this subject.
That current law comes from legal cases decided in state courts that protect a real property owner's rights. But Trump says lawmakers need to take the provision a step further.
Where the legislature has not spoken in statute onto a subject, when the legal question arises in the context of litigation or judicial proceeding, the court must answer it. So you hear people decry sometimes judge-made law, but often it's judge-made law that's absolutely necessary because the legislature has not done what we're about to do right now, if the bill passes, and that is express the substance of the law in a statute.
The bill was approved by lawmakers 33-0. It was Senate Bill 1, however, that garnered the most attention on the floor today. The bill repeals the 2009 Alternative and Renewable Energy Portfolio Act. That act requires electric utility companies in the state to produce energy using 25% of alternative fuels, like wind or solar, by 2025. The bill was previously amended in committee to keep net metering provisions for individuals or companies in the state who have already invested in alternative energy sources. Net metering requires utilities to credit those individuals for the additional energy they place on the grid. An amendment today from Energy Committee Chair Senator Jeff Mullins provides that any upgrade costs a utility may encounter from the net metering practice cannot be passed on to ratepayers who do not participate in the program. That amendment was adopted. Minority Leader Jeff Kessler stood to propose another amendment to the body.
It would add a provision that requires that the legislative auditor, who obviously works for us, would be required to report back to the Joint Committee on Government Finance on or before July 1, 2016, as to the net effect on any jobs that may have been created as a result of the repeal of this legislation, as well as the effect on any utility rates.
The report is similar to the economic impact study Kessler requested earlier in the week of Senate President Bill Cole. The minority leader says this study would come at no additional cost to the taxpayers of West Virginia. Members of the majority party, however, disagreed with Kessler's proposal, including Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael.
So there's just so many long-term implications associated with this that for those reasons, I would like to see us reject this amendment and allow the free market, which we have already been told in testimony before the committee by the utility operators, that this will likely lead to price increases for utilities if we do not repeal this.
The amendment failed, with two Democratic senators voting with the majority, Senator Bob Williams and Senator Bob Plymouth. Before their final vote, members of the minority party stood to speak in favor of the bill, saying without the law's repeal, the already declining coal industry would be further damaged. But some were worried about its effects on other energy industries.
But also want to speak to clean coal technology and gas, West Virginia natural gas. I hope that none of this is seen kicking clean coal technology to the gutter, nor our very bright future in natural gas. Mr. President, I am convinced in my mind and heart that natural gas is a massive, massive part of West Virginia's future. It is the bright spot in our future.
As coal becomes more expensive to mine in West Virginia, Snyder says it's important the state does not ignore its future. Still, the bill passed 33-0 with one senator absent. The House's version of the bill to repeal the Alternative and Renewable Energy Portfolio was on second reading today. Beth Voorhees reports.
Democrats tried to add two amendments to House Bill 2001. One would have required an economic impact statement to determine how the law's repeal would affect coal and other jobs. Another would have required that a scholarship program be created to allow displaced workers to receive training for new employment. But House Speaker Tim Armstead ruled that neither amendment pertained to the focus of the bill.
The fundamental purpose of committee substitute for House Bill 2001 is the repeal of the Renewable Energy Portfolio Act. The purpose of the amendment offered by the gentleman from the 50th is to create a new tuition program that is actually in a separate chapter, a separate section of the code. For those reasons, I believe that not only does this amendment not fulfill the primary purpose and fundamental purpose of House Bill 2001, but actually embraces a separate purpose and a separate issue that under our Constitution is not permitted to be amended into a bill that does not have that as a fundamental purpose. For those reasons, I rule that the gentleman's point of order is well taken and that the amendment is not germane.
House Bill 2001 to repeal the requirement that electric utilities partially use renewable or alternative fuels to generate power will be up for passage in the House tomorrow. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Beth Voorhees.
News about roads and taxes coming up. First, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the Senate today.
Among the bills introduced in the Senate today, Senate Bill 271 provides for anesthesia of an unborn fetus and that when during the course of an abortion procedure, a fetus is aborted alive, all available medical means must be used to preserve its life. Senate Bill 273, at the governor's request, to clarify licensing and operational requirements for brewers, resident brewers, and brew pubs. Senate Bill 274, the governor's bill to improve DHHR's monitoring capabilities to ensure appropriate assistance is provided to those individuals who qualify for the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families program. Senate Bill 276, to remove the severance tax on timber. Senate Bill 278, to prohibit hunting with night vision technology, a drone, or other unmanned aerial vehicle. The bill permits hunting with crossbows. And Senate Bill 280, to allow the Secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection to transfer well work permits. Currently, the transfers are prohibited by legislative rule. One bill is on second reading, the amendment stage in the Senate tomorrow. Senate Bill 12, relating to when employees who are fired or have resigned are due their outstanding wages.
The House Finance Committee met today to hear the budget requests of various agencies within the Department of Transportation. But one of the many concerns the delegates had was the state of roads in the Marcellus Shale region. Liz McCormick has more.
In the House Finance Committee, the budget requests were led by Transportation Secretary Paul Maddox. Seven officials spoke on behalf of their agencies within the Department of Transportation, asking lawmakers to keep their funding at levels proposed in Governor Tomlin's budget bill and avoid any additional cuts. The director of the Division of Motor Vehicles asked for additional funds to improve their IT infrastructure. Those overseeing airports, railroads, and public transportation were concerned with maintenance funding. But after the budget requests were given to the committee, delegates questioned the state's ability to keep up with highway maintenance and road construction needs, particularly when it comes to the growing Marcellus shale industry in the northern part of the state. Delegate Pethel posed a question to Maddox about the state of roads in the Marcellus region.
You know, in Wetzel, we've had about 9 years of Marcellus shale drilling. And would you agree with me that arguably Wetzel County has the worst roads in the state?
I don't know. I'm from Putnam County, and I can take you on some pretty bad roads in Putnam County.
I mean, and, you know, I've had discussions with you before. I know you've traveled Route 20, and I know Mr. Murphy's traveled, like, Route 7. But I don't see anything improving unless we get significantly more money. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. We're not gaining any ground with our highway program. We're only spending half as much because that's all we have available. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to keep pace with the deterioration in the system.
Money for the maintenance and construction of roads and highways across the state has its own account, known as the State Road Fund. This year, that fund is going better than previous years. But even with the increase in funds, Maddox says the paving cycle remains too high, not just for the back roads in the Marcellus Shale region, but for the major highways across the state. Delegate Paul Espinoza of Jefferson County questioned a new revenue system states like Virginia are trying, moving away from a traditional gasoline tax.
As you're well aware, other states have transitioned or begun to transition to sales tax-based funding for their transportation systems. How extensively has your department looked at perhaps those states' transitions and, while I've heard anecdotally what that might translate to if we were to move into that as far as our sales tax, the necessary sales tax increase, how extensively have you looked at that and would appreciate your comments as far as feasibility?
Okay. We have looked at it. Of course, the state of Virginia took the lead in creating more revenue for their state road fund by applying a sales tax. I believe it's something that West Virginia should take a look at. The Blue Ribbon Commission has looked at it. And I believe a 1% increase in the sales tax here in West Virginia, instead of generating the $1.2 billion or so that it same sales tax generated in Virginia, it would generate about $220 million for the state road fund in West Virginia if it was all dedicated to the state road fund.
The Blue Ribbon Commission Maddox refers to is a group the governor compiled in 2012 to study the funding of the state's highways. While their final report and recommendations have not yet been released, the group said as much as $1 billion is needed by the state each year to just maintain the current road system. Maddox didn't say whether the sales tax was a better or worse way to fund West Virginia roads, but told the committee it was worth looking into further. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
This legislative session's first public hearing was held today. At issue is House Bill 2011. It addresses payments from the Workers' Compensation Fund and recovery of damages in a private lawsuit. West Virginia is a state with some dangerous workplaces, coal mines, chemical plants, and oil and gas drilling pads. This bill applies a higher legal standard before an injured worker can bring a lawsuit for damages against a company. Industry representatives explained why the bill should pass, while injured workers or attorneys who represent them explained why it should not. Here's some of today's testimony.
Under our workers' comp system, an employee who is injured at work gets benefits and does not have to prove that someone was at fault in order to get those benefits. In exchange, the employer gets immunity from being sued outside the workers' comp system, with two exceptions: that the employer did not have a valid workers' compensation insurance coverage in place, or the employer intentionally and seriously injured the employee. It's these deliberate intent lawsuits where our concern lies.
And I have had the honor over the years to represent many West Virginians that have been seriously injured and killed as a result of deliberate, intentional violations of workplace safety laws. And you, as this committee and this legislature, are being asked to consider a statute that would give immunity, as it's drafted, would basically result in immunity for employers who knowingly violate workplace safety laws. I can't imagine why we're even having this discussion.
As you know, we have a no-fault workers' compensation system in this state, and under that system, an employee who is injured at work gets certain benefits paid by the employer without the need to assign fault for who caused the accident. Clearly, an employer who commits a deliberate, intentional act resulting in the serious injury of an employee should be held responsible. Nobody here for or against this issue is questioning that fundamental aspect of our workers' comp law. However, we have come to find that these deliberate intent lawsuits are becoming commonplace among claimants as to an effort to supplement the benefits available through the workers' compensation system and ultimately payment to certain lawyers.
If this law passes, we'll have another Farmington or something like that happen, because when they're not responsible, they won't be responsible. And as a law-abiding citizen, if I have to obey the rules and pay my consequences, I think the company should have to, too. Thank you.
2011 is under consideration by the House Judiciary Committee. And here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today.
Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 2165, creating a tax credit for certain businesses with more than 25 employees that relocate to reclaimed mountaintop removal land. House Bill 2184, to discontinue the use of Common Core standards and assessments in the state. House Bill 2186, to provide for a performance and efficiency audit of the Division of Highways. And House Bill 2194, to eliminate local participation in funding school construction projects. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, House Bill 2001, repealing portions of the Alternative and Renewable Energy Portfolio Act. On second reading, House Bill 2025, prohibiting certain sex offenders from loitering within 1,000 feet of a school or child care facility. And House Bill 2201, requiring the Public Service Commission to adopt certain net metering and interconnection rules and standards. Net metering means measuring the difference between electricity supplied by an electric utility and the electricity generated from a facility owned or operated by an electric retail customer.
This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, we'll meet Dr. Michael Martirano, the new superintendent of schools, along with Gail Manchin, the president of the West Virginia Board of Education. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
For the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org.